This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You are listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 259, brought to you by InStock Trades and iFanboy listeners exactly like you. Fanboy Pick of the Week podcast. This is episode 259. That may not seem like a big number, may not seem like anything special, but this is our fifth anniversary of the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast.
Jesus Christ, 5 years? Seriously?
5 years.
It seems like longer.
It really does.
We'll get the business out of the way. I'm Josh Flanagan. I'm here with Ron Richards.
Hello.
And the effervescent Connor Kilpatrick.
Hello, everyone.
iFanboy.com
out there in internet land.
It's our website. It's about comic books. We like them a lot, which is why we started doing it. And a little while ago, we said, you know what? About 5 years ago, we said, now that we're not playing World of Warcraft anymore and we try to reassemble the shards of our broken lives, why don't we podcast? And I went, I don't know what that means, but okay. And then we did it. And then I realized, hey, look, there are other people doing this too, oddly enough.
Yeah.
So that happened.
Possibly either the best or worst decision we ever made.
It certainly was an impactful one. I don't think anyone can deny that.
Oops.
So that the people who are not listening live know, there are people listening live. We are broadcasting right now as we record on Ustream, so that's sort of a special different show. To the people who are listening live right now, sup. And to the people who are listening later, we hope that that doesn't negatively impact your regular podcast experience. It'll be fun. That's what I think. Before we get to the show, and this is important, I already saw somebody in the chat room going, oh, I didn't finish that book, don't talk about it. Spoiler time, kids. Talking about the books, that happened, so if you haven't read your books yet, be warned, I think it's worth it just for the fun time. That's what I say. Now we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. Connor, you had the honors of the fifth anniversary Pick of the Week. I had the first one. Go.
My Pick of the Week was Amazing Spider-Man 647, and I was first surprised because we had a big Batman book we'll talk about in a bit. I surprised myself by picking it, but then when I finished writing the review, I wasn't surprised anymore because anyone who's paid attention, you guys know, I really love this run of Spider-Man. I think this is probably the third or fourth time I picked a Spider-Man book from Brand New Day as a pick of the week. At least three I can think of off the top of my head, but there's probably more. And this was the quote-unquote final issue of Brand New Day, which is silly because they're not changing the status quo. It's not like he's going back to being married. This particular creative team's stopping. They're changing the format. It's not coming out three times a month anymore. So they're sort of putting an ending on this. And this was sort of a jam issue between a lot of the people that have worked on the run these last 3 years. And it's been 3 years. It's been pretty amazing. It's been over 100 issues of Spider-Man during Brand New Day. And there was 7 stories, and they were all really fun, and they all sort of tied together all of the characters and storylines and things that have happened, all the major ones anyway. And it was sort of that nice final issue, that final goodbye before we start a new direction. And that's what was really impressive about it, was it ended a bunch of things while simultaneously starting a bunch of new things. And I think that was really impressive. And I liked that it was a lot of really cool people working in the book. You had art by J.M. Kenyamura, and you had art by Max Fujimura. I can't pronounce that name, but we're going to go with that. You had Graham Nolan, who used to draw Batman in the 90s, doing a chapter. And you had guys like Fred Van Lente and Dan Slott and Mark Guggenheim and Mark Waid and Joe Kelly and Bob Gale and Zeb Wells. And you had just a really great team of people doing really great character stuff. And it was really fun. And at the end of the day, it was an oversized book. It was 64 pages. It gave me a lot of story and a lot of good feelings. And I really enjoyed it. And that was why that being the pick of the week. Ron, are you still on this?
Of course. You crazy? This is fantastic. And I'm bummed that it's ending. You know, like, I'm sad that this is the last issue. I see no reason to change it. This has been the best time for Spider-Man that I can remember since I've been reading it. Yeah.
At least since I was a kid.
Yeah.
It really feels right. I love that there was a main story. There was the Another Door main story, which was basically all the characters coming together at this party at Aunt May's house to say goodbye to Harry. And I liked that it was saying goodbye to Harry. In the first issue, we said hello to Harry.
Right.
He came back from the dead. There was a nice symmetry to that. And then basically in that issue, Mary Jane tells Peter just to get over being a guy can't make a decision about anything and you know, ask Carly out, do something with your life. And
yeah.
And then he sort of, you know, decided to stop being an idiot. But there was also a lot of fun bits in that party too. I loved his costume. He dressed up as J. Jonah Jameson. He had a brush on his head.
There was so much Spider-Man love in every, like, even the costume party with everybody dressing up basically like Spider-Man, you know, villains or other heroes or things like that. Like, there were just so much, like, inside jokes or, you know, they're just, like, the world of Spider-Man. Like, this really felt like a reveling in that world of Spider-Man. And even the stories that weren't key to the main, you know, the main plot, the main A story, were all true to the feeling of Spider-Man. And I especially like the little snapshot of the girl was kissing Spider-Man in the first issue.
That was great.
Yeah, it was a nice way to end it. It was a nice way to round it out with the multiple creative teams and little snapshots and moments. And you had a story that thrust, you know, that went through the whole issue, that carried the kind of wrapped up the storylines that's been going on in Brand New Day and sets us up for a future.
We should talk about that final story with the girl. That was like a nice little tag and bink moment.
Yes, yeah, Spider-Man. It totally was.
Brand New Day opened up with the big splash page of Peter and this girl kissing in a club. That was sort of to show you that this isn't your old Spider-Man. And we never really saw that girl again. So in this story, it's revealed that she's been chasing Peter this whole time, trying to get in with him so she could eventually get to Harry, because she's after the money. But so she's been showing up in all the storylines, but in the background. And it was just a funny little way to tie everything together. And
yeah.
And it was I liked it a lot. I laughed.
I liked when she was at, with the Dark Avengers, and she's talking to Venom, and she's like, yeah. Wait, "You're Spider-Man, right?" He's like, "I'm a Spider-Man." It's
like... Then he eats her dog.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just a really funny show. I finished it, and I was like, I felt so good. I felt good, and then I felt weird because I don't see why they need to change.
Yeah.
Not that they are changing anything. There's no indication they're really changing anything other than the creative team and the way when it comes out. But
right. Well, no, it's actually, it's a little. I mean, it's a little more than that, because you had the whole Spidey brain trust, and you had all those writers working together and plotting. And now it's just Slott. You know what I mean? Like, sure. It's mainly. I mean, it's. I understand why it's a big deal for them, but it's like one of those things where it's a big deal for Marvel, but it's not so much of a big deal for us. You know?
Sure.
Yeah. So
as a reader, it doesn't really. You know, it's not like he's getting married again. It's not like they're going back.
Exactly. It's not like there's a big thing happened, or he unveiled his identity again, or whatever. You know,
Thanos comes with the Infinity Gauntlet and wipes away the last 3 years.
That would be awesome. I liked how Mary Jane dressed up like Jackpot.
Yes,
and he even said, "I can't believe you're wearing that." You know,
everything tied together really nicely. It was a fun ride. The art was gorgeous. I loved the J.M. Kenyamura art in the Nora story.
Yep.
Even the one pager from Mark Waid and Paul Azaceta was great.
Yeah.
The ad for the J. Jonah Jameson Broadway show, which was a play on the Spider-Man one. There's a huge billboard for Spider-Man Turn On at the Dark in the real Times Square if you go there.
Yeah.
Which is pretty funny. But good stuff. This is a way to tie together 3 years of story in
although
one-ish.
One glaring missing thing. Or Marcos, missing person.
Marcos Martin.
Where was Marcos Martin?
Or Javier Pulido.
Well, yeah. I mean, or Paulo Rivera or anything. Yeah. But, you know, Marcus Martin was the one that I mean, and don't get me wrong, like, I'm going to miss Joe Kelly. I'm going to miss Fred Van Lente. I'm going to miss, like, so many of these creators that were on it that did such a good job. I'm really going to miss them. But it would have been nice to get, you know, like, a two-pager from Marcus Martin or something. I don't know.
Although he's one of the guys in the new run. He's going to be one of the artists. So that's something. Just really good. I'm so happy because, you know, Spider-Man is, he's not only a seminal character in comics, but he's a seminal character for me. And, you know, for so many years, I just wasn't into him anymore. But this brought me back. And so this was a nice way to celebrate that, which has brought me back to Spider-Man books. I really was happy about that.
Yep.
So that's why I ended up being the pick, because I really was happy when it was over with it. And I know lots of people were stunned. And I know Josh was one of them, but...
I was shocked. Because the thing is, I was preparing myself for you to be like, oh, it's Batman and Robin, and then people would go, oh, that's Connor. He just picks Batman and Robin.
So, Josh, you read Batman and Robin 16, right?
I really did think that it was like, oh, it's going to be Connor picking a Batman and Robin book, and I wouldn't blame you, and I'll tell you what was happening. I was reading the book, and I got to the page where you flip over, and there are, let's see, how many panels we're talking about? A lot. There are
20, the Robin panels.
Yeah. The 25, like, many, many, many panels. And all that, and I just thought that's a pick of the week. Now, that was before they made the first artist change, which didn't bother me as I went through it. I was actually surprised to see Chris Burnham's name on there.
Good. Well, I wasn't, because he said it on Twitter.
Yeah, I wasn't. Yeah, me
too. No, that's fine. I remember. Here's an inside story. I think it was last year, the year before. He was at DC and he was trying to meet with some editors, and he goes, they wanted samples, so I just dropped a copy of my Marvel work that I'd done in the
booth. I remember that night.
Is that enough a sample for you? So apparently that worked.
Captain America book he did, right?
So apparently that worked. Well, I will say that, like, for the first bit of it, I was like, Jesus, Cameron Stewart is killing on this.
Yep.
This was better than the stuff that he'd done before. I see why he couldn't finish it. It seemed like
There was Cameron Stewart, it was Chris Burnham, it was Frazier Irving, and Cameron Stewart was really good. I mean, they were all good, but I liked Cameron Stewart's section the best.
It was good. It was like, I do think that when you read Batman and Robin, you sort of, it can go one way or another. Like, you can be like, I don't know what I just read there, but it was kind of cool, or, wow, that was great. That's what I kind of like about Batman and Robin. You kind of get anything. And I thought it was a really nice ending, beginning sort of thing. I thought the last couple of pages that explains the new thing was really well done and interesting and a bold step. You know, as it were. And obviously, I love the character work with Damian and Dick and Bruce the whole time.
The issue is Batman comes back, or Bruce comes back, and Bruce and Dick and Damian together defeat Dr. Hurt and Professor Pig and the Joker. And at the end of the issue, Bruce Wayne holds a press conference and says, I've been the one funding Batman all these years.
That's a big, big deal.
Yes, and then he basically says, we're going to take the war on terror global. And it's continued in Batman Inc. So that's, I mean, this was... It was a really, really good issue. I gave it a strong 4, and I fanboyed. There was something about it I kept my finger on that kept me from really, really loving it. I don't know. It might have been the artist changes. They were all good on their own. It might have been that they were. I don't know. I'm not sure yet. But all I know is when I finished it, I thought, yeah, that was really good. But there have certainly been better issues. I thought the last issue was better.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. I mean, I gave it.
No, it was very, very good. It was very, very good.
Did this panel with Jim Gordon in a dress not make it to Best Week in Panels?
It did not. It did not make it.
That's weird.
Well, now, if someone told me there was that was in the book, I would have bought it then. Jesus.
It's a tiny pink dress, too.
Even better.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's trying to order the cops to do stuff, and he's standing in a pink dress. You could have had a whole Best Panels feature just from this issue alone.
Yeah, those two pages really were something special. And, I don't care if Cameron Stewart can't finish it, that's fine. It doesn't bother me at all. But the work that he did do on this was exemplary. It was really good. Both from a sort of draftsmanship standpoint, I felt like it had a little more texture than he normally does, maybe a little more detail, but then he went all out in his story, the layouts on these couple of pages seems something special.
I mean, it was really good. It was a nice capper. It not only ended Batman and Robin's Grant Morrison run, but it also ended his whole Batman up to this point experience. So the whole R.E.P. storyline, everything up to this point was wrapped up in this issue. And I think it was pretty satisfying. I'd like to read it all in one go. Eventually all comes out in hardcover.
I gotta say that, like, I wasn't really all that. I didn't hear the thing about Batman Inc. and think, oh, that's great. But, like, the last couple pages of this really made me think, that could be interesting. You know, that really, there's something.
It's gonna be interesting no matter what. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we talked to him about it in San Diego, and it's an extension of Batman's character that hasn't been explored really, the businessman side. Combine that with the crime fighting side, and this is what you get. I think it's an interesting way to go. It's certainly a new story, so that'll be fun. Yeah. At the very least, it'll be interesting to read it. I'm sure he'll pull it off. For me personally, he hasn't really blown anything yet, so
no.
You know, why not?
Why fine.
There's going to be plenty of Batman books. If you don't like that, you just don't read that one. Read Detective Comics.
Yeah,
read,
it seems like that'll work fine.
Read whatever else
apparently,
that's coming out.
Apparently, Detective Comics is going to be pretty good looking.
Yes.
From what I understand.
Now, there was that little inkling of me that almost picked Irredeemable again.
I could understand that.
Which cover did you get? The Panosian cover is awesome.
The Panosian cover was awesome. Oh, in this issue, if you recall last time Irredeemable was the pick of the week, it was because there was a big reveal about how to defeat Plutonian and what the Hornet had to do to get that knowledge, and he teamed up with these aliens who could actually hurt the Plutonian. And in this issue, the aliens attack. And not only did we see the first time the Plutonian registered fear...
On the ropes.
Getting hurt, bleeding, and there's a panel that was in the Best Panels feature on iFanboy where he's actually fearful, and it's the first time we've ever seen anything like that from him.
Yeah.
In the storyline. But there's a great... I don't want to say twist at the end, but a device where I was actually surprised and let out a little gasp at the end.
Oh yeah, I did the same thing. Like I was reading it, and basically, so what happens is that the aliens start attacking the Plutonian, and then what's his face? I don't know any of these characters' names, but the dude with the hair who I really like, Cubit or whatever his name is. I really like that character.
Cubit,
by the way.
Yeah.
And Caden, who's the girl who can bring back ghosts, and Carrie, the guy who was the twin brother.
You're just making these names up.
No, I'm reading it right here. It says Carrie and Caden. That's what they're saying. But Carrie
and Little Wayne. And
Carrie's the twin, where his twin brother died and he got all the power or whatever.
Right.
So they kind of join forces with the aliens, and they coordinate their attack, and the aliens use their alien technology to create this like straitjacket to put Plutonian in, and you know that is key to his DNA or whatever it might be. And they just, you know, they got him on the ropes, and you know, they put it on, and then he breaks free, and you're like, oh god, when is this ever gonna end? But then you see that they actually did get the straitjacket on him, and what we saw in the last part of the book was all in the Plutonian's head. Which is way fucked up, yeah.
And that final page of him
strapping
to the machine in a straitjacket,
with that
smiling was startling.
Yep.
This is a really good issue again. I mean, this is a great book.
What I love about this book is that I'm never not surprised. I'm always surprised by the direction Wade takes it in and what he's got planned. Like, just when I think I know where it's going, it makes a turn, and then it keeps me on my toes, and it's just, oh, it's amazing. It's really good.
I think that this it's a strong five. Might have been my pick of the week. I haven't made up my mind yet.
It was a great issue, and I'm really happy that it's sort of back on a roll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The last few issues have been wonderful. This used to be a top five book. I think it might be inching its way back there. Now, I don't know about you, Ron, but I want to go to the other side of the spectrum.
No, well, no, hang on. So we were talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer number 38, and less, for me at least, to talk about this issue, and more that it's just a happy circumstance that it happens to come out this week, because this past weekend, I finally finished watching season 7. I've watched every episode of Buffy, finally. How many years has it been? At least 4, maybe 5, maybe all 5.
You've had that series for 5 years.
Yeah, exactly. I finally finished it. I finally got through it. And let me tell you, this comic series makes a whole hell of a lot more sense now. Like, as I'm watching season 7, I'm like, oh, that's who that is. Oh, that's why they, okay, all right, cool. So now I want to go back and read all 38 issues of season 8 to see if it, you know, makes it even better. But
that's too many issues for one season.
Yeah, and
it really was.
Yeah, but again, and the thing is that it's, watching the show has completely magnified my enjoyment of this comic by like 10.
Well, like, that's good, because I thought this was a mess.
Oh yeah, no, it's getting really rough towards the end though. Even the art and everything is falling apart a little.
I just didn't enjoy it at all. I'm not coming back for season 9.
Yeah,
how is a season like 3.5 years?
Well, yeah, 40 issues or whatever it is. Yeah, I mean, it's tough because you have TV writers trying to write in comic book form, and they should have kept it at like 25 issues. It would have been perfect.
Guys like Jeff Loeb, you know, it's just like.
But seriously, season 7? Did you ever watch season 7, Connor?
No, I stopped when she went to college.
Dude, it's fucked up. You should go back and watch it. It's great. It's really good.
And, I just didn't care anymore.
And Spike is awesome.
All right. Like, go talk to Mike Romo's wife.
No, but he's. No, honestly, he's great. It's fantastic.
You're
but anyway.
But yourself as a brown coat from now on?
That's the other
Firefly.
I don't know what do the Buffy people have a name.
Buffets? I don't know. Do Buffy people have names? I don't know. Buffers.
Warren Buffets.
I finally caught up with Buffy, and now everybody's like, "Oh, you got to watch Angel." And you go, "You know, I'm like, no.
Angel was great. I watched Angel.
Yeah, I need a break. I'll be honest. I need a break. So right. Yeah, maybe someday. But yeah, so Buffy 38. I just want this to be over. So Generation Hope number 1 came out this week, and this is Kieran Gillen and Salvador Espin's new series that is chronicling Hope, who was the Messiah, whatever you want to call her, the baby that Cable was protecting, and along with the basically this generation's New Mutants or Generation X book, where we're finally getting new characters in the X universe, which is great. This was good. I mean, it wasn't bad. It wasn't fantastic. It's just that I wonder if Kieran Gillen knows that we've all read and watched Akira, because the end of it is basically Akira.
Well, just somebody yelling Tetsuo over and over.
Like, again. That's all I was missing, because like the mutant they're looking for is all mutated and bulbous, and it's got like metal and stuff coming out of it, and then, you know, and has got a red cape, you know, and it's like, really, it kind of looks like Tetsuo. And then I turn the page and he blows up Japan, and there's this big black, you know, like a sphere going out over Japan, and I'm like, this is Akira. Wow, okay. So, but other than that, it was good. You know, it wasn't awful. I'm excited just to have New Mutants in the world and a book dedicated to them. Yeah.
So what's the deal with the baby? Do they ever figure that out?
No, but she's Hope. That's who she is.
So, but not Jean Grey.
No, she's not Jean Grey. Or unless if she is, they haven't revealed that yet. She's not Jean Grey, though.
When are they bringing her back?
I don't know. It's not soon enough.
She's been dead, if you think about it, for how many years now?
A while.
It's been like 8 years.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been too long, if you ask me.
Now, Josh, Jonah Hex 61. It was good, but it was bizarre.
I'm not sure how I feel about it. I like that they can change like so much. Like one issue doesn't like this is. I mean, really, like you really want to talk about a book that's like perfect for like to jump on at any point. I mean, like you just every issue is its own thing, and I assume there's some sort of loose continuity going on at some point, but.
This is sort of a past story where Jonah Hex is on his honeymoon.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's kind of happy, which was unsettling.
With Mei
Ling. And his wife doesn't want to shoot anybody.
It felt weird the whole time. And I'm not sure I was really down with it. Now I want to know what happens, because clearly something has to happen. But I got to the
point. Well, we know they bounced around. They've got the kids. I mean, he had a kid.
Yeah.
So now he's had a wife. You know it's not going to last. Or maybe it does. Maybe this is the future.
I
who knows? But it was just strange to see him sort of happy and smiling, mm-hmm. even at times. And
yeah, you know what? I think I want less of that.
I did like her though.
Yeah, no, I liked it. It was an interesting thing to play around with, but it just felt a little. I got to the page with where she beats up the guy. The two pages that had no panel borders or anything, and I was like, that's great. That made me really happy. That was
It was gorgeous.
Yeah, there's no. I have no problems with Jordi Bernet.
But it was halfway through. I was like, this is weird.
You know what it is? It wasn't so much her. It was this because this book had a lot of talking in it.
Yeah.
Like, it was, if you flip through it, there's like just a lot of pages of the two of them just talking. And it that actually was what changed the dynamic of it. Because normally he's going around and doing things. And at the best, there's somebody following him. But he's not having discussions with anybody. So, I don't know. It was interesting.
I really liked it because of that.
I
wouldn't
that.
Want this all the time. Yeah. But I liked it as like a one shot. To see another portion of his life. He can't be miserable his entire life, right? I don't know.
Yeah, no, he can. I think that's, like, every time you think something's going to change, it doesn't. Like, and it,
no, but he didn't change. He really wanted to shoot those guys, and he did.
Right, but he didn't kill him. And I think really wanted to kill him.
Sure.
Woman done changed him. That's what I'm saying.
he's a man like any other.
It's true. I did like, I thought it was interesting that, like, at first, like, you know, you don't really think anything of it, that he's married to a Chinese woman, but then you realize in the context, like, oh, that's actually, like, a thing. And that, I thought that was interesting. That's stuff that you can always
I'm happy with. You didn't do one woo impression.
I didn't even think about it until now. Because I'm not a racist. Although those are both fictional characters.
Yeah. All right, so.
Can I come back now? Or
come back to us, Ron.
So, Strange Tales 2, issue number 2 came out, issue number 2 or 3. And I already 2 issues in, Strange Tales 2 is stronger than the first Strange Tales, I believe.
Easily.
But I can tell from just the creators involved.
Exactly. Probably. And this issue quite possibly might be my favorite so far. And Josh, you could probably guess why.
Yes, go ahead.
Because it's mainly, there's like every other story is an X-Men story. Mm-hmm. Which was great, but just to do like we did last time. So the first story, Gilbert Hernandez of Love and Rockets fame, doing early '60s Tony Stark, Iron Man, and Toro fighting the Leader, awesome. Then followed by Jaime Hernandez's Marvel Girls Beach Party, and all the Space Phantom wants to do is join the beach party and join the ladies, and it's awesome. But then what stole the show for me was Jeffrey Brown's Uncanny X-Men story, which was like laugh out loud funny in parts, right? Where like Cyclops takes place in the Paul Smith era X-Men. So like the pre 200 issue 200s, like the late 190, early 200s issues.
You love that era.
I love that era. But like, what's hysterical? So Cyclops is there mulling over his relationship with Jean, and Wolverine. He's trying to talk to Wolverine. Doesn't want to talk to him. He's like, I'll go talk to the professor. And it cuts to the professor with Cerebro, the helmet, and the professor thinking, oh great. and then he goes to talk to the professor, and he's like, oh, I can't remember why we're talking. And the professor does the little telepathy thing. He goes, well, just let me know when you remember. You know, like obviously nobody wants to talk to Cyclops. Like, it was just a really funny issue. You know, then also there was a great Spider-Man story by Paul Mayberry. Paul Hornschmeyer did the great Colossus story. Farrell Dalrymple did an amazing Spider-Man story, where he recreated a page from John Buscema's How to Draw Comics the Marvel Way, a Silver Surfer Spider-Man page. And he says it in between the panels. He's like, I copied this entire page from How to Draw Comics the Marvel Way. I apologize if anyone finds it offensive. No disrespect intended. Please don't be mad. it's just a great, you know, like these alternative artists, you know, having fun in the Marvel Universe is just so much fun. It's a blast. So this issue was by far the strongest.
I saw that Eric Larson tweeted, and normally that's never a good start to a story, but he tweeted something along the lines of the guys who are doing these obviously enjoy the characters, respect the characters more than the guys who are doing the real books. And I think that...
Ouch!
Because the thing about these stories is that they're all set in the past. They're not set now. Like that, like if that's you look at point. It, like nearly every story is another era of these. Of like, there's a Wolverine Power Pack story that is hysterical, but it obviously takes place like in the 80s, you know. And so David Heatley did the Wolverine Power Pack one.
And
so
you get to, I don't know, they get to like what era would you like to do, and they just get to pick the one that they like best. So that works out really well, I guess.
But the
cover for the next one.
Yes.
I thought at first it was Chris Ware for a half a second.
Yeah, no, I thought that too, but it's Brunetti. It's whatever.
Awesome.
It's fantastic. No, but the Farrell Dalrymple and the Jeffrey Brown are probably my two standouts for they were the best ones. They were just the Jeffrey Brown one. Like it's full color, like it's more along the lines of like his Incredible Change Bots than the other stuff.
It looks really good.
It looks great.
It's one of those things like we've talked about this before with Jeffrey Brown that maybe some people might think that he can't actually draw, and no, he doesn't draw like, you know, Jim Lee, but he can draw like it clearly.
Yeah,
comes across.
And
it looks good in color. Like it's kind of interesting.
Great stuff. Strange Tales 2 was awesome. They did a great job on it. So we're hoping everybody that is here on the live show is enjoying it, and hopefully a lot of them are iFanboy members, and hopefully if you're listening at home, you're an iFanboy member as well, and we want to thank everybody. Without your support over the past 5 years, we have not been able to exist. Seriously, when people ask us why we do the podcast and why we do iFanboy, at least for me, I can't speak for Josh or Connor, it's always because of the audience and because of all of you folks listening at home and participating on the website, so we want to thank everybody. But we also remind you that you can, you know, we're not going anywhere, and we still do need your help. So if you want to help out iFanboy, make sure we stick around for a long time and do one of these in 5 years for our 10th anniversary. God help us. Wow. That just set in.
Shut up. That's...
Yeah.
I wouldn't bet on it, people.
Yeah, but so go to iFanboy, click on all the banners, support our advertisers, really appreciate that. Go to iFanboy.com/Amazon and do all of your shopping on Amazon through iFanboy. Holidays are coming, so now's the time to start shopping. And go to iFanboy.com/Amazon, you can buy your graphic novels, comics, DVDs, click on the Amazon icon to get into Amazon directly, and you can buy whatever you want, panties, whatever you need, that's fine. Go to iFanboy.com/store, and you can buy – we've still got some Fear Agent shirts left. We're going to be adding some of the long-lost iFanboy intern shirts for sale again. So you can get those, iFanboy.com/store. And that's also where if you're not a member yet, you can sign up to be a member. We want to thank our members. They're the best. We love them. For just $4 a month or $42 a year, you can sign up. You get a free comic from our collection as well as some stickers and some pins and a personalized note from us. And if you got a little extra money, you can pay $10 a month or $100 a year. That gets you all that great stuff, plus an iFanboy members t-shirt, which is quite awesome to wear to the comic conventions. We've heard at the end, now we're done with comic conventions for 2010. I've heard from creators at all the cons, there's so many cons this year, and nearly everyone, at least one creator, is like, hey, I saw an iFanboy member at the show. So that's awesome. So thank you all for doing that. And if you're not a member, You missed out on 3 months of amazing giveaways. We're planning the giveaways for 2011, geez, for next year now. And those of you who aren't members, you're going to want to sign up because you don't want to miss out, as well as we're going to be thinking of some cool new ways that we could make your membership worth your while. So put two and two together, and you can probably figure out what's coming. Definitely become a member now. Do that at ifanboy.com/store.
Stan Lee will clean your apartment.
Stan Lee will come to your birthday.
You didn't get under the bathroom rug.
Ron, did you buy Captain America Man Out of Time number one?
I did not.
I wasn't going to, because there's been a ton of these Captain America miniseries and there's just so many, but this is written by Mark Waid.
Yeah, I saw that after I didn't
buy it. And Mark Waid was the guy who revitalized Captain America after they put him in an armor suit and killed him off in the early 90s.
Yep.
So I bought it, and well, basically it's the story of Captain America. It's his first years after becoming unthawed, and is supposedly about his adjusting to life in the future or in the present. And it was pretty good. He has a great handle on Steve, but it just was weird. He comes, you know, basically the first half of the issue, he's in World War II, and then he, you know, the blow up happens. There's actually a great sequence where he falls off the rocket, and there's a full page shot of him reaching out for the rocket, and you turn the page, and there's a full same hand shot of him reaching towards the Avengers, which was a nice transition.
Nearly ruined by ads.
No, actually, it worked because you didn't want it to cross the page from each other. You wanted to have to turn the page.
Well, yeah, I know. So it should have. I feel like if it was on like the one side and then you flip it over and see it right away, it was broken. Yeah. But I thought the same. There's a great sequence. There's a great concept of a way to do something like that. Totally.
Oh, did you get this, Josh?
Yeah, I did. No, are you kidding?
Okay. So I really enjoyed it up until the very end when he basically shows up. He wakes up. He runs out into the world. He stops a rape from occurring, but then the woman shoots him in the stomach.
There's been a rape up there.
Right. He foils these guys from attacking this woman, and she freaks out, pulls a gun out of her purse, and shoots him in the gut. And I was just like, I feel like Wade went one step too far. I don't see that as happening.
It's funny. We love that he did it with Irredeemable. With this, we're like, whoa, hold up, Captain. It's Captain.
Well, not to shut Steve. It's just that she's living in a world of superheroes. It's not like she's like, oh my god, who's this guy in a costume suit saving me from these guys?
There was a few problems in this, and I know we're going to go over this one quickly. But at the beginning, when the officer comes along and has to cart them away, they kept calling him Sarge, and I was like, that guy's not a sergeant. Like his uniform, right. He's like a colonel. It kept throwing me. It was really throwing me.
Well,
off.
That's an art. The art and the art wasn't that great. I didn't really love the art.
I didn't mind the art. Like I thought it was like this weird sort of cartoony John Cassaday. I don't, you know what I mean? Like it was like if it got a little silly. Then the only other thing was that at the end when he went outside, they were like, Janet was like, "Don't worry, we'll be with you." And then he walks out there. Where the hell did everyone else go? He walked out into the middle of the street. You know
I
what
don't
I'm
know.
Talking about? Like it was just
yeah, I do.
And, like he's completely alone under the Welcome to New York. City. Where the hell did the Avengers go? I thought they were going to be there.
They're still in the submarine, apparently.
So
but
is this like a standalone?
Nitpicks.
It's a 5-issue miniseries. I don't know.
That's
I didn't,
not a nitpick. That's a genuine thing. They found him floating in the water. They're all in a submarine, and they're like, okay, we're going to take you out into the world. They walk out of the room, and he just walks out alone. There's nobody around.
Well, the city doesn't change that much.
No, that was the whole point. They were like, we don't think you're ready for this.
He was freaked out, yeah.
And then they took off. They were like, ooh, yeah. Taxi? Shit, did we forget something? And then one of them did the Home Alone Kevin thing. Captain!
Well, I don't know. It was okay. I thought it was all right.
All right. Well, I'm glad I didn't miss it. Yay. Between the Spider-Man, extra-size Spider-Man, and then Invincible 75, the double whammy books, dude. The extra-large books were just insane this week.
Dude, Ryan motherfucking Otley.
He kicked ass. He totally kicked ass. There was a string of full, like, double-page spreads that were just like, whoa! Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were great.
Then the other side of it is like, and it's really easy to look at this and just look at like Ryan Otley just destroying it. But I think that Robert Kirkman, sometimes I don't think I give him enough credit for some of the stuff that he's doing. But if you look at Walking Dead, and then you look at this, and sort of the crazy science fiction superhero concepts, the really big things that he came up with in this. And the story were really impressive. Like,
well, and what I also think is that everybody always gives The Walking Dead so much credit because anything can happen and anybody can go and anybody can die. But that's the case here, too.
Yeah.
You know, like, and so the big spoiler is that is it Oliver? Yeah, Oliver. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. His little brother got killed, got destroyed by a Vultramite, just got punched in the face and ripped his arm off. It was awesome.
You motherfuckers.
Sorry. But
I don't
it was
buy
like,
it. I don't think that he's...
I don't buy it either. The thing about Invincible is that people... Because it's a superhero book, so people come back, like when Adam Eve died and that sort of thing. I bet you he'll be back. But But it was shocking. It was more the gore, big battle, big space battle, explosions, mustaches. It was amazing.
It's been a really fun big story. I am looking forward to the contrast of it, like when they have to go back to Earth for a little while.
Yeah,
I think that would be a nice change. But there's a planet. The planet Viltrumite is ringed by all the dead Viltrum bodies.
Yeah,
that's a great concept.
Yeah,
as a piece.
Although a little nitpick is that the separation between the Invincible story and the Science Dog story, I could have used a little more break.
Sure.
Because I was just like, what is this? And I was like, oh, Science Dog. Okay, got it.
Was that an original story or was that a...
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was like, and it was totally like throw you in the middle of something. I was like, I don't know what this is.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
That's but this was great. Okay. 75 issues. Good job, Invincible. Yay.
Definitely. Oh, Baltimore Plague Ships. Are either of you guys reading this from
nope.
Dark
no.
Horse? That is a mistake, dude.
I'm on all trades for all things Mignola.
Okay, Connor, I want you to listen to me. This might be the best thing that Mignola is doing right now.
I have the novel. Do you have the novel?
No.
I have the novel. He wrote that.
It's so simple. There's not much to it, but it's just that the tone. Like every page, I'm like, this is wonderful. Like it's not breaking any rules. It's not doing anything. It's just. For whatever reason, it's just incredibly enjoyable, and it's not Mignola drawing it, but it just drips with him, and you've got this character, Lord Baltimore, and just like the vampires are like a plague, and it ruins his entire life.
Oh no, I'm looking forward to it quite a lot.
You should be because he has a peg leg and a lot of weapons. And I'm not the kind of guy who's like, there's a gorilla in this book, so I'm going to buy it. But in this context, this shit works.
No, you're a peg leg guy. If there's a peg leg, you're going to buy it.
Well, you know that. You know this.
I know that.
Me. All four issues of this have been great. I mean, it's not a lot happens from one issue to the next. They're really quick reads, but lovely stuff.
Cool. So, Connor, I saw that you the luck of you of me not going to the store until after you sent the books you wanted to talk about on the podcast. Is I saw you want to talk about Batman, Catwoman, Follow the Money, and I was like, what's that? I looked and I saw it was Chaykin.
Good Chaykin.
It was good. It was good Chaykin. It was good Chaykin.
You got to get that.
It was
good Chaykin,
real good
yo.
Chaykin.
Yeah, I mean it wasn't naughty Chaykin, which is good.
No, but the art was amazing.
Yeah, no, but I like the good Chaykin is when Chaykin gets naughty. But
yes.
But this is good. The good Chaykin. I thought this was great. I thought this was a great story. It was a fun story to read.
Well, the story was that three people basically embezzle all the money from Wayne Enterprises. Batman's and Bruce is broke. So he's got to track down the embezzlers and also the Cavalier and his silly sword and a silly hat are in it.
Yep.
Catwoman's there, and it was a really fun story. And the art, it was gorgeous.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. Although
he's shaking on his game.
Yeah, shaking very much on his game. Although he made everybody thicker than normal usually. Like Bruce Wayne was thick.
But that's his style. Everyone's got.
No, I know, but it was. But I've been keeping track of shaking, and this was more so than other ones. But I love the single pages where they were showing the people who were responsible getting out of town.
Yes, those were good pages.
Yeah, those were great pages. Just the story sequence, and Chaykin wrote and drew it, so it just shows when a singular, you know, kind of creator has the vision, and you know, it was like one escapes by plane, one escapes by boat, one escapes by train. It was just very same layout, very very cool.
It was a one shot issue. It's non continuity. Bruce Wayne is Batman. You don't have to worry about anything. It's just a story about these people ripping off Wayne Enterprises and Batman, you know, tracking them down. It was really fun. I really enjoyed it. Now there was another Batman book this week, Batman Confidential 50.
I only buy
these when I'm curious about the creative team, and it was Jerry Bingham was the artist. He drew Son of the Demon.
Oh wow!
Which was that book we talked about in the video show a while back.
Years ago.
According to DC, this is his first Batman work in 20 years, basically since that book. And you could tell he's older. You could tell he's not as sharp. You know, it's the same way you see Gene Colan's work now, and it's not the same Gene Colan work from 20 years ago. But it was still good. That wasn't the standout part. The standout part was it was an oversized issue. The second story was by the same creative team, done in a complete Silver Age style. The art, the story, everything was Silver Age. The coloring, that there was even distressed pages.
That's awesome.
Basically, the backup was the origin of the villain that he's fighting in the main story. And it's the Silver Age origin where he fights the Justice League. And it was if you had told me this was a reprint of a Justice League issue from the 60s, I would have believed it. It was written that way. It was Mark Guggenheim deserves credit. He wrote a modern tale in the first half, and he wrote a Silver Age tale in the second half, both flawlessly. And Bingham apparently did the art in the Silver Age tale, which is even more impressive. So, if you love the sort of process, like Ron, you'd really get a kick out of the process. It's like there's a lot of ripped pages, and there's a lot of folds, and you know, it looks like they basically found an old copy of it.
Yep.
And really fun from a process standpoint. I really enjoyed it. If you looked at the best panel feature, There's a.
There's I a saw that. Of, I didn't see that.
A little bit of role play between Martian Manhunter and Wonder Woman, yeah. And it was a bit sex. It was a bit 60s-esque in terms of the gender relationships. But
the part Connor's been telling you is that when he saw it, he got really upset and he looked through all his back and she's like, "Why have I never seen this?" And he called a bunch of shops and then he learned.
I went on Comic Book DB. I couldn't find it. And it was it was good stuff. I really enjoyed it though. It was really fun.
Cool. This week also came out was Punisher in the Blood. Which I guess now after Frankencastle is done and Frankencastle's back, there's not going to be a Punisher ongoing. This is a limited series. It's a 5-issue.
Whoa, that's big news.
Yeah, I wonder if it's a hint of what's to come for second-tier characters. But
I think it is. I think it is the hint of what's to
come. But so this is Remender writing, Roland Boschi on art, which was great. We've got the return of Jigsaw, and not only did we get the Punisher motorcycle with the Punisher skull on the front, but there was also a Punisher hang glider with the big Punisher skull on the hang glider, which was awesome. Yeah,
just
it was.
Don't care anymore, and I kind of like it.
Oh, it was great! Look at that! Come on, how great is that? He's like he's hang gliding.
That's pretty awesome.
Basically, it starts out with him going into a prison and getting information about Microchip, and then he blows up the entire prison and kills all of the inmates.
Might as well; they're all trapped.
Are you, calls are you guys it thinking about the G.I. Joe and Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow gliders?
Oh yeah, yeah, I remember that.
I remember those? Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, he calls it a one stop shop. Which is great, but no, this just hit on everything that's good about the Punisher. This is you know, like the white boots and white gloves, Marvel 616 Punisher, where he still kills and stuff like that, but it's still a little wacky, and it's, you know, it was good. This is a great miniseries, and I hope it does get to be an ongoing, because I would read this Punisher. So those are the books that came out this week, and some more books came out as well. And folks at home, you and the iFanbase wrote some reviews, and so we want to highlight some of them. Our first one comes from Zachary X Binks, who reviewed Superboy number 1, and he gave the story a 3 out of 5 and the art a 2 out of 5. Ouch. And at the time of this recording, 7% of you made it your pick of the week. And Zachary X. Bink says, "I think Superboy is great in this context, that everyone loves a flawed human character in the Superman family. In general, everything about this book is great conceptually, and hearing Lemire talk about his plans for Superboy gets you just as excited as he is for the ride. Unfortunately, this book was very okay. It was by no means a bad story, it just didn't wow me in any way that I thought it would. All of Connor's inner dialogue is interesting, but anything outside of that just felt really blah. Besides Ma Kent and Connor, I simply don't care about the rest of Smallville's inhabitants. All in all, I think I have this reaction because I was expecting to be excited. Parts of the book were fun and all, but it was just good. No more, no less, and that's what I'm most disappointed about." Interesting.
I thought this book was okay, too. I didn't think it was great.
I thought it was a little more than okay. Well, here are my initial thoughts.
I thought it was solid. I didn't think it was great.
First off, I was pissed when I opened the first page because you've got that 4-panel shot of the kid playing superhero, and all I could picture was the kid from the first Essex County trilogy.
Right.
And I was like,
oh, yeah.
Intended.
Oh, it had to be intended. I was like, shit, why isn't Lemire drawing this? But that's
because it would sell 5 copies.
Yeah.
Because he can't draw 2 books at once.
Right. And then the tough thing was is that I feel like early on, some of his dialogue wasn't like when the Phantom Stranger shows up and he's talking to him, and it's like, "Tell me exactly what you're talking about, man." And I was like, oh.
It was a little silver agey.
Yeah, yeah. But
that's okay.
Yeah.
No, that's a choice. That's fine. Right.
And it definitely firmed up as the issue went along. And, you know, and while I don't agree with Zachary X. Binks here, I love Pierre Gallo's art. I thought the art was great.
I like it. There were choices that I – those glasses got to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Those glasses are terrible. When was the last time you saw a kid wearing, like, blue specks that go under the eyes? That was just weird. And then he's got those weird suede boot things. I mean, I know that these are nitpicks, but it's weird. It was odd. And I hate Parasite. Hate Parasite.
All right, fair enough.
Just
but that last page of Poison Ivy looked great.
Yes, it did. No, and yeah, I don't mind the style of the art. I think it was – he described it as sort of European, and I think that's correct. I think good storytelling. I really like these kind of lines, you know, like this sort of thing. And she looked great. My favorite part of it was probably like the – here's the coming up stuff. I was like, that's neat. I like those things.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of room to grow, though. I think he's the perfect guy for this kind of tale. I mean, Zachary X. Binks said it right. This is the kind of superhero he should probably be writing.
Yeah. I think he'll get there. He'll get there.
Yeah.
And I gave it an extra star for the Phantom Stranger because he's the best. Look at him. He's stuck in the 70s, and it's awesome.
I would almost give it an extra
wearing
star.
Wearing a turtleneck.
Yeah. I would almost give this an extra star because the cover was absolutely wonderful. The Raphael Abbott cover. The
cover was great, yeah.
Really beautiful cover.
Lemire drew this book. It'd be something special, though. That's what makes me a little sad.
I agree. I totally agree.
For 4 issues, it totally would.
If I need to buy 10,000 copies, I will.
I don't believe you. Wait, are you the guy calling up in stock trades?
Hey, look, reviewed KS1 number 3, give a story a 5 out of 5 and the art a 5 out of 5. And at the time of recording, 0.37% of you made it your pick of the week. And Hey Look says, and this is how you do a cosmic event. And I don't have a lot of stake in the characters involved here. I haven't followed Hercules much at all, other than the things that have led up to this previous Goddess Squad stuff and the fall of rebirth of him. I've only known of Amadeus Cho through his own mini and a few things here and there, but holy crap, I just love the characterization that Greg Pak is throwing around in here. So isn't this the continuation of the cosmic stuff?
Yeah, no, it's not the continuation of the cosmic stuff. It's something different. It's a continuation of the Amadeus Cho Hercules stuff. And I bought the first issue, and I enjoyed it, and it was good. And honestly, I missed the second issue, and now I'm just like, I missed it. I'm going to read and trade. So right. That's my plan. No, I will. I was actually very happy because this week I only had like 12 or 13 books and they were all solid. So like I've had too many 20 book weeks. I need
yes,
to
Yes, I had a 12 book week also, yes. But I did kind of slip and pick up the Chase collection, the little mini $7.
Oh, I was selling that at the store. I was telling people to buy it. I was like, it's like X-Files in the DC universe.
Plus drawn by G.H. Williams III.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's and also we didn't mention, but Scarlet was great this week as well, I thought. But anyway.
Is that on the list? I'm not talking about that.
Oh, I thought it was good. So.
I gave it 3 stars. It was alright.
I like.
Where is the Nova story going? Where's that? Where does that go?
I don't want to talk about it.
I thought it was in a miniseries.
Well, it's in Thanos Imperative, and I think they're one issue away from the climax. It's not. It hasn't finished up yet. Yes. Okay. Anyway. All right. But yeah. So those are the books that came out. Go to ifanboy.com/comics and read all. Do your pull list. Come back. Do rate and review and write reviews, and we'll read them on the show. And good times.
Earlier, I foreshadowed in stock trades and let it be known that they are still waiting for the one of you to put in the $50,000 order. Your shipping will be free on that. That's guaranteed. You can, if you're just a regular consumer, you could buy all your trades from them and save up to 37% off. There's free shipping on orders over just 50. You don't have to spend 50,000, so that's good to know. There are over 9,000 trade paperbacks in stock available for you right now. New releases are listed every single Wednesday, and orders ship within 48 hours usually. So go to www.instocktrades.com, and they support the show, have for a long time, and a lot of podcasts. So they're very good about that, and also, you could probably get October's Book of the Month. Wait a minute, it's November. Anyway, you could get October's Book of the Month. Yeah, you get both of them. Richard Starks Parker, The Outfit by Darwin Cook, and that would be $17.49, which is a deal for a beautiful little hardcover. Which brings us to, surprise, surprise, the Book of the Month. Ron?
Book of October.
Yes, the October Book of the Month was a little delayed this month because the book had to come out. And we got it at the New York Comic Con, and then things got busy and yada yada. But when I published the Book of the Month review on iFanboy.com, and I think one of the early comments was, oh, big surprise. And, you know, was there any doubting that Darwin Cook's follow-up, the second book of the Richard Stark Parker novels, The Outfit, would be the Book of the Month? There wasn't much doubt on my end.
No.
It was great. But also, when I started reading it, I honestly was worried because
sure. –
The first one was so great. It's like, oh, is he? Can he top it? Is it going to be the same? What could this be? And honestly, I think this might be slightly better.
I like this better.
Yes, and I don't know if it's the story or what Darwin did with it, but this one was a hell of a lot of fun to read.
It was fun. You were right. I read this actually this week because I was behind and we're going to talk about the show. I got to read it.
Yep.
And I went to bed and I was going to read some of it. And I ended up reading the whole thing through to like 5 in the morning because I couldn't put it down.
I read it one sitting. I totally read it one sitting. It was amazing. So basically, you know, this is the second book in the series. And so it takes place after The Hunter, and Parker's in Miami. And basically his past catches up with him and somebody tries to kill him and he catches him and he decides, you know, this is it. I'm gonna strike back at The Outfit because I don't have a beef with them, but they're trying to kill me. And so don't screw with me, basically, is the story. And what then happens is that you get, you know, like, and I love the way Darwin has translated the story into these within the book itself, you know, the chapters or book one, book two, whatever. Like the sequence of events are really, really good because you get the initial kind of the attempt on his life and him trying to find out who's after him, and then that's where it folds into the Man with the Getaway Face, which was the little issue that came out at WonderCon earlier this year, It wasn't the complete Man with the Getaway Face. It was just the portion that pertained to the story where we find out that Parker got plastic surgery, has a new face, and that's, you know, that's how he can lay low and that sort of thing. And if you go back, if you got that little one issue, you can see there are pages that are in there that aren't in this, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so we find out how he changes face, and he tracks down who's after him, and then he comes up with his plan, and then book two is the execution of that plan. And basically what he does is that he starts traveling from Florida up to New York, And he writes a series of letters and basically puts the call out to all of his buddies to start striking back at the outfit. And then this is really where this book got special for me, which is there's a series in the middle of the book where in book three, where it outlines all of the different capers that are happening all at the same time with Parker's guys. And what Darwin also did was that he told each of those stories in a different style. And I kind of laugh. I didn't mention this in the review, but I thought it because, like, we last year, you know, when Asterius Polyp came out, we like heralded Asterius Polyp because Mazzucchelli would change styles mid-story and different chapters would be in a different style, and it's amazing. And I almost pictured Darwin sitting at home going, "Oh yeah, I could do that too," you know. But I don't think Darwin's one to imitate. But like, this is kind of, you know, he just flexed his cartooning muscles so much with these stories by telling them in a completely different style, true to the time. True to the 60s and that retro look. Like, each one of these stories, I was remembering to, like, magazines of the 60s or, like, advertisements, and the look and feel looked familiar. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if you guys felt that, caught that as well, but I don't know.
When I first got the book and I flipped through it and I saw, like, I saw the text pages.
Yeah.
And I saw, like, the other one the after that, which was a lot of text, even in the cartooning stuff, which was the bit about the little story about the money launderer guys, money smuggler guys, and
now we know how to do numbers.
I saw it, and like a little part of me thought, oh, that's going to slow me down when I get to it.
Yeah,
but when I was reading through it, I did not feel that at all.
Yeah, I've heard people who didn't read the prose part, mm-hmm. and you completely missed out if you didn't read the prose part.
You did, and that's Stark. That's not.
Yeah, it's not Darwin. That's straight prose from Richard Stark. Donald.
But
West, like,
I mean, it is magnetic words. I mean, like,
oh, it's amazing.
I flew through it, and it was just as enjoyable. It didn't slow me down at all, which is the only thing I don't like when you hit a big text piece in a comic book, is it just slows you right down when you feel like you're moving, and then you get to the last bit, which is straight comics, but it was very, it was so technical and so precise as we're going through it, and you like there was a ton of panels on a given page, you know, when it was needed, and I got to the end and I just wanted more, because it felt like an episode. That would be the only thing about it, was that it totally stands on its own, but at the end of it, like, the whole thing, I was like, oh, what's on next week? But you know, there is no next week. It's 2 years. Or
2012. Oh, Jesus. But yeah, and like, also, like, I thought to go back to the heists, my favorite one was the last one, was the numbers one. That was my favorite one.
Yes.
I love the style of that. I love the storytelling of that. It goes back to, you know, we talked about the whole thing where, you know, people doing their job and doing it well. Like, it was each one of those capers were so much fun to read, and the different styles were awesome, and it just ended on such a high note. But also on the art style in the standard story, you know, a lot of it took place at night, and this was way darker and thicker than the previous book, at least in terms of art. And I just think the way he's playing with the single color, with the black and white and the blue tone, is just beautiful. It's just amazing, and that's the thing. And the book ended, and I was like, "No, don't end! I want more." So
it really felt like that. It was fun.
I had two thoughts when it ended. One was, "All right, he's on another level."
Yeah, absolutely.
He's in another league than everybody else.
Yeah, totally.
They just put him in a different level.
Yeah.
And two, that Ron was a bastard for buying a page from Parker in WonderCon, and I didn't.
No, it's even better is that it was I bought a page from WonderCon. So just so everyone knows, and I don't know for sure, and I haven't asked Darwin directly, but I believe he's not selling any of the pages from the Hunter or the Outfit, except he sold the pages from the Man with the Getaway Face.
Right.
And that's what I bought a page from at WonderCon, and it's a page that's not in the Outfit. So it's like it's even more special in my mind. But
it's just a gorgeous book, and I bought a Jonah Hex page, and I'm not disappointed. We all bought a page from Darwin, but the art in this is gorgeous. It's the coloring. It's the way that the lines are heavy. He's a very heavy ink on this.
Yep.
It's almost an angry line, which fits the character and the story. There's a lot of anger in it, and it's a gorgeous book, and he's working on the level.
What I love more than anything in this as well was because I love this time period and the retro and all that stuff, and all the signage and the design that went into it, because he drew those signs. I mean, that's the thing. It's not like he's photoshopping in that AAA sign or that Phillips sign or anything like that. Like, if you look closely, he's looking at the source material and drawing it, which is amazing. Like the last page, the Frank Sinatra's Calneva Lodge, like that amazing page. It was great, and we thank Darwin right back at you. Thank you for a great book. quite awesome.
I got to the shop, and I was like, I don't have anyone to show this to.
Yeah. It's a little trippy, a little crazy, but yeah, so good times.
I didn't see that coming.
All right, cool. So yeah, go to In Stock Trades or go to Amazon and buy Parker the outfit, and Josh will have the November book of the month very soon, right?
Hopefully. listen, people, it's a quest. Do you want a video show? Do you want that? I don't know. It's a toss-up. Maybe. That's what I'm going with. It should be. I got it picked out. It's been read. It just has to be written. So there. Fine.
Okay. Let's do okay. On to the email. First email is from Tony S., who's also known as Suicidal Kangaroos, and this is a long one.
I think he's in the chat room, actually.
Is he? Tony, are you in the chat room? If you are, good on you. Okay, so he's got a few unrelated questions that you guys should totally answer on an audio podcast or something.
He is.
Hey, we are. Oh, he is in the chat room. There you go. You're hearing your questions live. All right. Question number one. I've heard you guys talk about Alan Moore a lot for stuff like Watchmen, The League, Lost Girls, etc. But I don't remember you guys mentioning V for Vendetta. I'm just asking because I rewatched the movie on TV yesterday, which I really like, and I never read the comic, so I was wondering what you guys think of the comic and the movie.
May I?
Sure.
Yes.
V for Vendetta is my favorite Alan Moore story.
It's really good, and we don't talk about it nearly enough. And I saw that the movie was on like FX the other day, and
it's a fun movie. It's different than the book, though.
Yeah, I mean the book's David Lloyd. And David Lloyd is one of those artists that doesn't look like anybody else's work at all, and it's gasp inducing. I will turn a David Lloyd page and be like, oh.
Yeah, he's great. He's really good.
Amazing.
It's your favorite Alan Moore, right?
And I think so. I mean, like, it depends when you read thing one to another, but it's the one that I've been saying for a while. When I got the Absolute Little a couple of years ago, I read through it one more time. And the thing about it is it's just I like it more than Watchmen. It's more enjoyable. It's more – because it lives on its own. Watchmen is a comment about comic books and superheroes, whereas V for Vendetta is just a story, and it comes together, and it's
great.
Really good.
And it's also kind of neat that we're recording this on the night of November 4th. Tomorrow is November 5th, so V for Vendetta.
Amazing.
So there you go. Guy Fawkes Day is tomorrow.
So we love it. We've talked about it here and there, not a ton. We should talk about it more.
Isn't it on the Alan Moore shows?
It was on a video show for sure.
Yeah, we should go back to it. It's great. It's really good. Okay, his next question is, this is a hypothetical question, so don't be all, well, this will never happen, so F you. But what do you think will happen to the comics industry if Marvel and DC both went out of business? It's never going to happen. Would there be more great and creative books out there? Would people stop reading comics and or would it be a lot harder to bring new people in? I don't have a problem with these companies, just an interesting question. If Marvel and DC went out of business, comics are dead. That's it. That's what happens. I mean, comics will exist.
Comics industry goes dead, not the comics.
Exactly.
Comics don't
people will still make comics, and people will still do stuff, and there'll be underground, and there'll be independent publishers, but it'll become way more novelty, and I think it will go digital more, it will go web more. But if Marvel and DC go out of business, then the whole industry is fucked.
Okay. Yes, but honestly, it could be the best thing that ever happened in comics.
Maybe.
Except for
people making their living in comics, that wouldn't be.
All of it would be burned down and you'd have to start again. It would be like...
Sure.
It would be something else. And I mean, you wouldn't be able to make a living in comics probably for...
A long time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm talking 30, 40 years. But if it built itself up into something new that wasn't based on one single genre, that'd be something to see.
Yep. So... Okay, continuing from this last question, what would happen if all DC and Marvel licensed characters became public domain? Just pretend there isn't a long wait for the trademarks to run out. Then you might get cool stuff like Daredevil, Marvel's Daredevil ending up in Savage Dragon.
You might finally get that Daredevil Batman story that Bendis has.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, like you get like, you know, Project Superpowers. Everybody loves they're all public domain characters. That's exactly what would happen.
You'd be assaulted by so much crap you wouldn't be able to find the good stuff.
Yeah, well that's our job.
I'm not reading all that crap.
Finally, how do you feel about the overall state of comics in general? Jeez, that's a big question.
He's very downer in this.
Do you think it's slowly dying? Readership seems to decrease every year. Are digital comics helping? Do you think they'll help? I'm just nervous because I'm relatively new to comics and a few things are scaring me. Mostly my local comic shop that I've been going to since I started reading seriously last year is having a lot of trouble. And people haven't been picking up their books as often. In fact, the owner said that he's got $3,000 worth of comics people need to pick up, but aren't. That sucks. He now has to pay shipping and check, and now the comics are taking longer to arrive. As of now, Monday, November 1, I haven't gotten last week's book yet because they haven't even come in. I'm worried that it might eventually close down, and it was the closest store to me. Dude, go to Discount Comic Book Service.
Yeah, put the guy out of business quicker.
Well, true, yeah. But he
may deserve it. He doesn't deserve the business. He's got to earn the business.
Well, if wherever he lives, and he's in the chat room, maybe tell us what city he lives in, but it doesn't sound like that city can maintain a comic book store. you know, and that sucks. That totally sucks.
It does. Overall, what am I saying that the industry's got going? I think the industry has, I think it's flatlined. It's been flatlined for a really long time. There has never been a product that received a better 10 years of marketing than comic books did, and it didn't do squat.
Yep.
At least on a long-term basis. I mean, sales went up on some trades, you know, bookstores did something, but overall readership didn't increase. So it's the same, and eventually people will start to drop off, and I'm guessing it stays relatively the same. Something could change. Maybe digital will change things. I hope it does, but...
Yeah. I mean, it just sucks the fact that he's got that many people not picking up their books. I mean, that's just awful. Like, he's got to stop.
Yeah, if he's getting screwed by his customers, then that's not his fault.
Yeah.
So, but I hear that, you know what, I hear that not a lot, but I do hear that happens quite a bit where people just don't buy their pull lists, which, you know, that's the danger of the pull list-based economy that comics is in, is that people call pull lists the guaranteed income, but only if your customers actually show up to buy the books.
And the non-returnable nature of the direct market. Like, it's hard. They can't take chance. That's why when you talk about little stores that don't have stuff, because they have to pay for that stuff. And if nobody buys it because nobody tries something new or they don't have money, and that's, you know, that's absolutely the customer's right, it's going to hurt.
Yeah. It's tough. And as far as comics go as an industry, though, I mean, like, the direct market is hurting, but I am optimistic about the power of Amazon and bookstores and the trades and things like that, because those sales are, while they've taken a hit recently, those have got good trends behind them. And then there's the future of digital, which nobody knows whether it will work or not. Yeah.
In the chat room, Suicidal Kangaroos says, my comic shop isn't getting anything in November.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah,
DCBS, you got to. Yeah. I mean, if you want comics, you're going to have to do something else.
Yeah, that sucks. Anyway, all right, well, that's a downer. Our next email comes from Patman2, who says, hey, guys, I just found out that my local comic shop is closing down, which, Jesus Christ, which has really got me down. I've become friends with the owner of the fest last year, and I really feel for him now that I find myself in the awkward position of trying to figure out how to get my new weekly comics. The only other shop near me is a hole in the wall, which doesn't carry half the pull list, and I've been thinking about using an online discount service like DCBS. So should I just give up and go to the store and finally take the online plunge? Or does that make me part of the problem that caused my local shop to close in the first place? Yes. Just do it. Yes.
No, I was going to say it does make you part of the problem. A really horrible metaphor for this is, it's like you had this girlfriend, and then you found out she was going to die in like 6 months. And like 3 months in, you're like, so I met this girl.
Did you watch Law & Order this week? Because that was the plot.
No. It? It's like you've got this girlfriend who's going to die in 6 months, and then you discover porn on the internet.
I don't think it is.
No, it's not the same.
Yeah, I was trying to go the online route.
But that was the plot of Law & Order this week.
Was it really? Jeez.
Tung, tung.
All right, Connor, read us another email. Hopefully it's a...
Mike A., who's Saturn MDA on website, says, hey, guys.
Comic shop.
I work once a week at a comic store for store credit. What would you do? Save it up for big ticket items like the Absolute Edition of comics you already have in your collection, like Wednesday Comics, New Frontier, or Planetary, or keep cashing it in on items you don't have, like trades of series you haven't read?
I have all sorts of questions.
I tend to think of stuff like that as sort of found. You should go for the big ticket item you wouldn't normally get.
You know what? Honestly, go for the cash, because when I worked at the record store and I worked for CDs, I never made any money. So
are you getting like minimum wage worth of credit? And if so, does that credit get applied to a retail rate? Do you have to pay the full price?
No, he's got to be paying wholesale. If he's working and they're charging him full price, that's all. Then you need another job.
Yeah,
a lot of stores pay in store credit. I mean, they don't get the money, so you got to choose something.
Again, I don't know why you got to choose. Just do what you get what you want.
But let's say somebody handed you $100, would you say there's an Absolute Edition I've been eyeing, or would you buy a bunch of stuff you never read before?
Depends on how the mood.
I've done both.
Yeah, exactly. Everything's not black and white. Just do what feels right.
What you need to do is you need to hold on to it, and then one day you're going to be in the store and you're going to get hit one way or another. You're going to see some big beautiful book. Or you're going to be like, I'd like to buy all of these books. And either way, it's going to be a good day.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Another good day is when you write into an email to us and it's positive and not depressing. So email us at contact@ifanboy.com. We want to hear from you. We're not doing any voicemails this show because we did a lot of email. We did the book of the month. But you can call in and you can do the voicemail. You can leave a voicemail for us on our voicemail line at 1-888-FANBOYS. It's 1-888-326-2697. Always good to hear from you all. So, yeah, this is our anniversary. This is 5 years of the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast. Good times. I think this is also the time that we tell everybody that this is the last podcast.
Not kidding.
not kidding at all. Actually, we're done. We're all done. Website's going
down
tonight.
Down, Josh. Walk away.
It's over.
Do it one more time.
No, but no, it's all good. We had a great run. It was
not. It's gone.
Josh has left.
Josh left.
No, we're not going anywhere. Josh, come back. We're not going anywhere. It's been fantastic. Thank you, everybody. Is there anything we need to say, Connor?
Well, I mean, it's been crazy. It's been, you know, we started the website on a lark. We started the audio podcast on a lark, and it's 5 years, and I couldn't believe when you said it last week. This was the anniversary, but
I know, yeah, it totally stuck up on us. It's November 5th. Tomorrow, Guy Fawkes Day is our anniversary day. Actually, there you go.
Also, that's the day that Marty went back in time.
Wow, there you go. Yeah, no, it's been great. I mean, I really hope that the people who listen understand. Like, I know everybody, like a lot of people, like, you know, their Sunday nights or their Monday commute or whatever. We see on Twitter people like, all right, time for the iFanboy thing. Earlier in the week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, for 5 years, the three of us have done this for an hour. It's 2 hours, pretty much. You know, it's been very long.
3 hours. We used to fuck up a lot.
Yeah, we used to fuck up. We haven't fucked up in a while.
Do you remember those days when
you
used to
say that?
Do you remember that one time we did the show three times?
Yes. Yeah.
Because the.
And it was practically scripted. Like, we did the same jokes. And it was,
yeah.
We were mad by
that. Was early.
Point.
That was like year one where the show, we didn't get the recording the first time. The second time it crashed. And then we had to do it the third time. And it just wasn't.
Yeah.
Was
did
not
we,
good.
Did we tell the story? I feel like we did. So forgive me. But like, we had like the writers do a podcast one time. And okay. I recorded it. But I wasn't on it. And like, I put my mic on mute. And I played with my guitar the whole time, and at the end of the hour, I went to listen to it. I was like, yeah, you guys are going to have to do this again.
That was you were the producer on that show, yeah. And I was going to edit it, and I got the file, and I'm sitting down to edit it, and I'm playing, and I hear just a strumming guitar in the background, and I was like, what the fuck?
I never knew that.
And I was like, is there some sort of, like, cowboy theme going? And then it just kept going. I kept skipping through to make sure it wasn't.
Cowboy
and then
theme.
I emailed Josh and I was like, were you playing guitar while you were producing the show? And he said, yeah. And I said, yeah, you can hear it all. So he had to call all the writers together. They had to do it again at like midnight and like Saturday. And then he told me he almost played the guitar again when he was
Jimsky just wrote in the chat room, I was at a wedding. I got a call. We have to do it again.
Sonya was mad.
Yeah. Apparently Paul almost killed him. I mean, Jimsky almost killed himself. So
that was fun. We've had a lot of behind the scenes shenanigans.
Like, he was at the wedding and was like, oh, I'm so enjoying this wedding. I don't want to have to go do that. Because like, he's a guy who loves weddings.
Yeah.
He's a dancer.
I'm not a talker. I'm sorry.
Does anyone in the chat room have any questions? We'll take some if they're good, but we'll keep talking until if not.
Bit of a delay, so yeah. So yeah.
It's been crazy. I mean, this is our jobs now, and this is not what we expected to be happening. You know, yeah. 5 years on. It's bizarre.
I mean, honestly, the fact that we can do this, you know, talk about comics every week is amazing, you know.
How long do we go with this?
It's too long, I think. This show or the...
I mean, the whole thing. Are we done? Is it 5 years too many? Is six too many? Is four not enough?
Don't ask Josh that. Jeez.
Well, the thing is, as long as we keep doing the same thing, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
But if we try to do anything different at all, we will fail.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, Origami Kid asks, how long between the time we started till it became a full-time job? We started the website 10 years ago. We started the podcast 5 years ago. This became a full-time job.
Oh, February 2008.
Yeah, February 2008.
So, 2 years ago. So it took 3 years.
Yep.
And it's a lot of work. I don't want to complain or... But it is a lot of work. I don't know if everybody realizes how much this... We work 7 days a week, and I'm pretty much always working. I've always got my laptop open, even if I'm...
I don't know if people realize the comic industry doesn't sleep for anybody.
Yeah.
If you notice that. Especially now. And honestly, as great as Twitter is, it's almost made it worse.
It has made it worse.
Yeah, because it's just every... and all the damn Brits that... I mean, like, everybody's up all the time. It's miserable.
You think we script this?
No, Brits.
No, in the chat room it says, how long do the scripts take to write? And I was like, scripts.
Oh, well, we script the show. Explain the script. We have a script, but it's not like a script like Josh says this, Ron says this. It's a guideline. Connor, explain it.
It's a rundown. It's got the copy in it, the opening, and the, you know, the stuff we read in the beginning. It's got the order of the books. It's got the advertising copy, and it's got the emails, and it's got the voicemails. Obviously not the voicemails, but it's got a list of the voicemails. It's basically all the stuff we read is on a script, and it takes 10 minutes to put the script together, which is why there's probably always one mistake in it. But it's not a big deal. It's just a rundown of the order. I mean, we all come from production backgrounds, so this was sort of, you know, a lot of shows don't even do that stuff, but we've sort of always done... We've always made scripts.
We found that we need something to keep us going, you know, like something just to keep the direction, you know, like to keep us, you know, because part of it was that we said, you know, like when we started listening to podcasts, you know, like when we in 05, you know, there are a lot of podcasts that go on and on and on and on and on. And like ultimately, I just wanted a podcast that would like be good for commute. And at the time, my commute was like 30 to 45 minutes. And so I'm like, we should do the show and it should be an hour. And yeah. That's what we've done. And, you know, I'm very proud that we've stuck to that. And I think a lot of people, you know, and nothing to say against those podcasts that go really long. I mean, they do a great job at that. You know, just our choice, like this was our format. And a lot of times people ask us why we don't do things, stuff like that. It's because we have a format and we stick to it, you know. Like,
and it works for us. On the shows that don't. And those are great shows. They're just not our show. And they have their show. We have our show. And it's just different.
Also, if I break format, Connor comes over and he hits me.
Yes. Yeah, it's great.
With the paddle. Don't make me bring the paddle out, Josh.
Yeah.
I'm
a little turned on.
Ooh. But I'm trying to get into – it's not working for some reason. But I wanted to get into just to show you guys how the full-time job aspect of it or just like how much the stuff has grown. I mean, like, you know, when we started the website 10 years ago, nobody came to it basically. And we started the podcast, people started coming to it. And like literally, like if you look on the graph of our growth, and like that's part of the reason why, you know, why Graphically, you know, wanted to work with us and stuff like that is because we have been growing. And thanks to a lot of you, the audience and the listeners and stuff like that, to the point where, you know, like we are like I do believe and I'm very proud of the fact that we are one of the main comic book sites out there. You know, it's CBR, Newsarama, you know, Comics Alliance and us, you know, and that's great. And that's because of a lot of people. So a lot of you all coming to it. So thank you for that. But yeah.
Yes.
Cool.
So that's it's been 5 years. It's been lots of fun times. It's been good. You know, Josh and Ron are my two best friends. So, you know, we will argue and we'll fight. But at the end of the day, we're in this together and we have a good time and we laugh. And this is the most fun I have is with these two guys. it is the most fun I have is with when we do the show every week.
That's true.
We get together, we talk about comics, we laugh, we have a good time. And Josh and Ron will make me laugh to the point of tears more than anybody that there is.
Usually the word balls.
Balls or a very austere, finger. Serious voice saying that three podcasters were found dead in Brooklyn.
three aging founders found dead in Brooklyn. Details of 11.
Anyway, yeah, no, it definitely is the highlight of the week for all of us. And although you wouldn't believe it by the amount of bitching and complaining we do leading up to it, but when we get into it, it's fun.
Yeah, and I would never trade. I think this has been fun. I think it's been great. I think I'm proud of us for doing this and turning it into a job and turning it into success. And I think, you know, I'm really happy we did it. Yeah. You know, who would have thought?
Yep, who would have thought? The unthinkable.
Yes, so let's wrap up the show.
Yes.
And say our goodbyes, and then for those of you lucky enough to be sticking around, lucky being a relative term, maybe we'll stick around for a little more. But, Ron, you go.
Yep. Okay.
It's you.
Read
the script,
part,
you son of a bitch.
I'm sorry, I looked at the wrong part. Hey, how about our regular other podcast? We do other ones, not just this one. The Don't Miss podcast comes out every Monday, and this week we will be talking to Charles Sewell of 27, which is a new book coming out from Image Comics, and I was very mad because I thought that's a great idea.
Genius book.
I've read it. It's actually very good. So that is going to be the Don't Miss podcast, which is when we talk to a creator about a book that's coming out that same week, one that you should not miss, hence the name.
Yes.
I wanted to thank everybody who sent in a Halloween picture for the Halloween costume roundup.
Did we get any nudies?
No comment.
We did?
Balls.
If you go to iFanboy.com, there'll be a red post at the top. You can see we got about half more than last time. So we almost doubled what we had last time.
Okay. So thank you all. It made it sound like there was less.
No, we got take half of last time and add it. 50% more than last time. So check it out. It's at fanboy.com, right at the top. You can see all your photos. If your photo didn't make it, send me an email. We'll get it up there. But it was really fun to see everybody's costumes. Thank you for sending them in. We appreciate it.
It's podcasting by Frankenstein, Tarzan, and who's the other one?
Tonto.
Tonto.
Podcast.
Fire bad. Anyway. Cool. So as you know, we talked about it a lot, but go to ifanboy.com where you can read Connor's Pick of the Week review, read my Book of the Month review, read all the other great articles and writings by folks like Paul and Jimsky and Ben and Molly and Mike Romo and everybody. Mike Romo, who is the heart of iFanboy, or what?
He is the heart. No one realizes it.
Yeah, Mike Romo. We're nothing without Mike Romo. We're nothing without all of them. So, but anyway, so go to ifanboy.com. You can read it all there. We've got great posts all throughout the week. You definitely don't want to miss any of it. Go to ifanboy.com/about where you can get all of our social network links. You can friend us up on Facebook and that sort of thing, or follow the page on Facebook and all that stuff. And you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/ifanboy. We do have a video show, comes out every Wednesday. Last week was our trip down memory lane with the classic Fantastic Four, which was awesome. The sexism was rampant. I hope people went back and read the panels that we put in the show, because I worked very hard to pick out the most sexist panels I could find. Like the point where Sue Storm says, "All right, I'm going to go do the housework now." And Reed goes, "Good, as long as you're not heard."
Oh, Jesus.
or the one where they were fighting and they made up and Reed says, "Come over here. Wives are meant to be kissed, not heard."
Like, he's not wrong, though.
Maybe she had a really annoying voice. Maybe she sounds like Fran Drescher. I don't know. Maybe.
But this week's we're taking a look at some bad heroes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Bad like, superheroes.
Hypothetically.
We said earlier you could email us at contact@ifanboy.com, call our voicemail line at 1-888-FANBOYS-326-2697 with any questions, comments, concerns. We'll get the emails or the voicemails back next week. Thank you.
Awesome. Hey, you. Yeah, you. You been to iTunes? You written a review yet? Why not? Because that's how people know. Do you feel guilty when I did that? If you haven't been to iTunes to write a review for this show or the Don't Miss show or the video show or any of those other things, do that. That's a really easy way to help and send a thing. And don't look at it and go, "There's plenty here. You don't need me." We do need you. If for no other reason, the Lord over other podcasts. I'm petty. There it is. Or it helps just tell people about the show who you think might enjoy it. Or tell people about it who you think won't enjoy it. But I don't know if that's going to help you or us, so maybe that's not the way to go. But then tell people about things. Matt Kids is 5 years.
Wraps it up. That's 5 years.
What happens at the beginning of 6 years? I don't know.
Probably. 259 episodes. That's just of the Pick of the Week show. We how many movie, don't miss
special any, edition
special
shows,
editions, talks explodes, video show, what we're up to 180 the video show. Yeah.
So. Plus there was 100 something minis.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
A lot of shows.
So good times.
I'm Josh, done. Shows Josh, that didn't get recorded.
Exactly. Josh, Connor, thank you guys. Couldn't do it without you.
Thank you guys.
Love you, man.
I just want to thank Mike Romo again.
Yeah, Mike Romo. He's the emotional.
Like this. It worked like this.
Give it up for Mike.
Yeah.
That guy's really cool, and he likes us.
Mike Romo. All right. Anyway, so until next week, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
And I am Josh. Thank to everybody. Thanks to the audience, and thanks to all the writers and stuff. A lot of them came from the audience, and
What a
weird, wild, wacky show. What a wild ride. All right, later, kids.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert-extrovert thing, and some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away, and, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.